If you look for evil, if you seek evil, evil will what? It'll find you. Listen to this next scripture, Psalm 109. He did not delight in blessings, so they were far from him. And then the next phrase says, but he also loved cursing, so it came to him. It's like you're a magnetic center. You're a center of gravity. If you're looking for evil, it's gonna come and find you. But if you're looking for good people, you're gonna find good people everywhere.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. If you listen to Words of New Hope regularly, you'll often hear Pastor Wayne tell us what the most important decision is that we will ever make. It is to put our trust in Christ. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will tell us the second most important decision. It's all about attitude. In a moment, a message entitled Attitudes of Faith. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
To the glass, Jesus. Jesus, lift a voice and praise the name above all names, Jesus, we cry Jesus, those who call on his name will be saved, so we will cry out his name in victory.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Attitudes of Faith.
I want to talk to you today about the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You say, second? Well, what's the first? Well, I'm about to tell you. We're starting a new series called Matters of the Heart. It's a mini-series. Every once in a while, I'm going to go back into the archives and pull out foundational classic messages that I think we need as underpinnings in our lives. And if you gloss over them and miss them, you'll miss the foundational buttresses upon which God can build. And so today I want to talk about something that's a matter of the heart, and that's why the series Matters of the Heart. And I want to start with the classic scenario of Joshua and Caleb going into the promised land. You remember that. You remember when God said to Moses, I'm going to give you a promise. It'll be a land filled with milk and honey. Now I want you to send 12 people in there just to check it out, to see, like logistical directors, to see how you're going, what strategy are you going to use? So he sends in 12, if you recall, the 12 return and Moses says, how is it? 10 of them say, it is impossible. There's no way we're going to take it. There's giants in the land. There's Amalekites, Jebusites, Electrolytes. Everything is in the land. 2 of them said, no, we should by all means go into the land. Who are they? Do you remember their names? Joshua and Caleb. And God says something interesting. He said, you know, these two are going to go into the land. Why? Because they said, by all means should we go into the land. Well, wait a minute, Moses said. These 10 guys said, we can't. You say we can? Oh, absolutely, says Joshua and Caleb. It's a cakewalk. Oh, no, the 10 says, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. Well, sure we can. Moses says, God, what do I do? God says, you see those 2? They're going to go into the promises. See those 10? They're going to die. Why? Here, listen to this. My servant Caleb, he has had a different spirit. A what? He's had a different spirit. And has followed me fully, and I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. I think he's had a different spirit. Yeah, you see, what God was saying is this. He's saying there's a perspective that you can use. It sees things poorly or sees things better. Sees things darker or sees things brighter. I want to talk to you about that today. God calls it a different spirit. We call it a different perspective, maybe a different demeanor, a disposition, an attitude. But for some reason, God's saying, that's the kind of people I will bring into the promises. The others will get the same promise, but they'll never enter it. I like to watch people, especially successful people. People that are successful in their organizations, in their families, in their relationships. Successful people, because successful people leave clues behind. You know that? Like breadcrumbs, they just leave clues. And you think, well, what is it? Is it the way they stand? Maybe it's the way they talk. Maybe it's the way they shake someone's hand. What is it that's that common denominator that allows God to say, those I will use, those I won't? What? Yeah, you can have 2 people. They grew up in the same neighborhood, read the same books, go to the same school. One is successful, one is not. 2 couples, they go to the same church, read the same Bible, live in the same neighborhood, have the same economic status. One becomes successful, one becomes dismal. You think, well, what is it of these successful people? What is it? God says it's going to be something called a different spirit. I want to talk to you about that. A different spirit. Is it that important, just having a different perspective? Absolutely. Matthew 6 says this, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light, which means if you see things correctly, it will affect the rest of your life. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with what? With darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? What is he saying? He's saying the lamp of your body is not your eyeball, it is your perspective, the way you see life. It's the spirit that you bring to life. You see, it's not what happens to you that's going to affect your future. It's how you define what happens to you. That's going to define your future. That's going to affect everything about you. And that's exactly what he's saying. It's not what happens to you. It's how you define what happens to you. And let me tell you about the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Are you ready for it? You say, well, what's the foremost? What's the first most important decision you'll ever make? Here it is. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is your decision to follow Jesus Christ. How many of you would agree with me and say, yep, that is true. Absolutely. And if you've never made that decision, I want to encourage you to make that today. Because that will affect your eternity. That'll affect your eternity. The first most important decision you'll ever make in your life is your decision to follow Jesus Christ. We say, what's your second most? Well, your second most important decision is this. Remember, the first is your decision to follow Jesus Christ. The second most important decision you'll ever make in your life will be the spirit with which you follow Jesus Christ. That's your attitude. The way you see life, the way you see people, the way you see problems. See, your first most important decision is your decision to follow Jesus Christ. Your second is the attitude with which you will follow Jesus Christ. You say, well, can you get to heaven if you got a bad attitude? Yeah, you can. But when you get into heaven, St. Peter's going to go, oh, good night. Guess who just came home? You see, you'll get into heaven because your entry into heaven is not based on what you've done. It's based on what Jesus has done. It's not based on your heart. It's based on his heart. How many of you are glad for that? Really glad. Yeah. But listen carefully. Although your decision to follow Christ affects your eternity, the spirit with which you follow Jesus Christ affects your testimony while yet on this earth. Are you a roadblock to people going to heaven, or you're an usher? Are you going to point the way, or are you going to block the way? It's the spirit with which you carry out your faith. God says that's so important that if you don't have that right, I'll have promises, but you'll never enter them. A promise for your marriage, you won't get there. A promise for your future, but you won't get there. A promise for relationships and the quality of relationships, but you'll never arrive there. Why? Because I'm a Christian, I go to church, I tithe, but your spirit... You've seen people come into a room and their spirit's so good. They come into the room and people look around and go, oh, so-and-so's here. This is so cool. Joy enters the room when they enter. Isn't that right? Other people, you know, when they enter the room, it's like, oh, it's just you kid. Oh. It's like joy enters the room when they leave. Your spirit is more important than your education. Your spirit, the spirit that you carry about your faith, is more important than your gifts and your passions, your looks, your money, your background. In fact, so much so that God says, Joshua and Caleb, they have a different spirit. They're going to enter in the promises. These guys here, not going to do it. We call it attitude, but it's really the way you express your faith. You can express it with legalism, judgment, condescension, or you can express your faith with grace. And joy. Oh, not without justice, not without judgment, but it's filled with grace. We call it attitude. I was talking to the Bank of America president. I said, how important is attitude with your tellers? He said, you want to know how important it is? I said, sit down. Let me tell you a story. He said, there was this elderly gentleman that came into our major bank in Los Angeles, and he got into the queue of the line and kind of worked his way all the way up. Probably took him 9-10 minutes. Finally got to the teller, made a small deposit, and then he said, would you validate my parking ticket? She said, we don't validate anymore. People were abusing the validation system, and we're not validating anymore. I'm sorry. He said, but ma'am, you've always validated my ticket. She said, we don't validate tickets anymore. Excuse me. He said, but ma'am, I've been here 12 years at this bank. She said, read my lips. We don't validate tickets anymore, and there's a lot more people behind you. Would you move on, please? He got out and got back into the line, worked his way all the way up again, went to a different teller, withdrew $4.7 million, and went to another bank and deposited it. Bank of America president said, you want to know how important spirit is? Cost us $4.7 million. And God is saying how important it is in the way we express our faith. If you've got a good attitude, I mean, it's how you respond to problems. Isn't it true? You can have a problem and it can be an ordeal or it can be an adventure. It all depends on the way you see it. You can see something as terrible, or you can see something as, oh, it's a new season. I tell people, when you hit a crisis, always ask yourself this question: what new opportunities does this open up for me? I just lost my job. This is terrible. No. There's all kinds of new. I can do anything I want now in the world. What new opportunities is this going to open up for you? I can try something else. I can start all over again. I can take all the mistakes I made and undo them and redo them. You see, you're one attitude away from a great life. One attitude away from a great life. I fly all over the world, as you know. I got just tons of miles built up on my air bank, and that's all I have in the bank is air. But I just got tons of miles, and I've flown so many different airlines, and they're all fabulous. All fabulous. The airline attendants, fabulous. But the best is Japan Airlines. I mean, you can throw up on their shoes and they'll say, "It's all right, that one smelled good. It's all right." It's all right. You know, it's just, they're amazing. I fly to Japan and back, and I'm still, till this day, amazed that they are so prim, so proper. Every hair and follicle is in the right place. This is amazing. And the story goes where this guy gets on Japan Airlines. And you know, Japan Airlines stewardesses, they don't walk. There's like a fixed rail that they just kind of like, you know, and they just don't walk. It's fixed like this. And she comes out, she says, "Thank you for flying Japan Airlines. If you need anything, you push a button on armrest, and we come right away, and help you with anything. So please relax and have a nice flight. Thank you for flying Japan Airlines." And she just disappears. It's just absolutely amazing. So the guy figures, well, this must be the way it is. And then he sits back, and the plane takes off, and like 20 minutes into the flight, all of a sudden there's this cataclysmic explosion on the left side of the fuselage, and he looks out the window and the left wing is floating away. And so she comes like this. "Thank you for flying Japan Airlines. If you notice, left wing fall off." "But it's okay. We just tilt one side a little bit more." So give up flying Japan Airlines. And then she just kind of disappears like this. And this guy figures, this is normal flight etiquette, you know? So it's okay. And he leans back. And about 15 minutes later, kaboom, on the other side of the fuselage. And he looks out, and the right wing is floating away. Quickly, this lady comes out, you know, "Thank you for flying Japan Airlines. If you notice, right wing fall off. However, no worry, because now we go more fast." By this time, this thing is bulleting towards the ocean, you know, and kaboom, it hits the water. And finally, it comes to a settled position, and she comes out, and her hair is all disheveled, and she's putting it back on her head like this. "Thank you for flying Japan Airlines. If you notice, we landed. However, we ran wrong place. But we have a good news for you. For those of you that can swim, we find land 5 miles to your left. So if you can swim, please begin now." "And for those of you that cannot swim, thank you for flying Japan." You see, if you got a good attitude, it doesn't matter what goes wrong. God is speaking about the importance of our spirit. Because everybody has faith, but the question is, what kind of spirit carries your faith? See, that's what sets us apart, isn't that right? Because we're all a preview of heaven. You're a trailer of heaven. And people are going to look at you, not at your faith, they're going to look at the spirit with which you express your faith. Because that tells people how deep your faith has gotten a hold of you, not how much you've gotten a hold of it. So it can be theological, it could be legalistic, it could be something philosophical, or has it gotten a hold of me? So it permeates my life. And God says, "You see, Joshua and Caleb, those are the ones that'll enter into the promises. These here, they ain't." You say, "Well, Wayne, how do we develop that kind of perspective on our faith, that we carry it with the right spirit? If it's that important to God, you better believe it's important." These two enter the promise. These 10 did not because of that one thing. They both believed God. Both sides believed God. But these people expressed their faith in a way that was so pleasing to God, and these didn't. But they both had faith. Remember, your first and foremost, your main decision in life, your most important decision is your decision to follow Christ. That affects your eternity. The second is will be the spirit with which you follow Jesus Christ. That affects your testimony. And when I go to heaven, I want God to say, "You lived well here, and you'll live forever there." That's when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. So you say, well, how do we develop that faith? That kind of faith that has that spirit to carry it. Well, I'm going to give you three real simple ways, and you can write them. There's a blank sheet of paper in there. And the first is you got to train your eyes. You got to look for what's good. But more than that, you got to train your eyes to see what's good. Because you can take a look around and you can see all kinds of things that are not good. I mean, people come to New Hope and they say, where in the world do you park? You know, one of the things, if you come to New Hope, it will be a constant problem, and it'll be parking. Ever since New Hope began, the thorn in our side is parking. I say, if you can find a parking space, you can come. You know, it's just like, everyone's looking for that. Now, we can look at that and say, terrible, that's it, I'm out of here. Or you can look for what's good. Just say to your kids, it's like Easter egg hunt. Let's find a parking space. This is so fun. It just depends. You can make things bad and ugly, or you can make things better by your, not faith, by your spirit. It's up to you. So how do you do it? You start by training your eyes to see what's good. If you come to your marriage and you're looking for bad stuff, your marriage is going to look bad. You know why? Because you're going to see what you're looking for. Isn't that right? If you're looking, you come to church and you're looking for people that have the same dress you have on. It's like, oh man, that's like, oh, that lady has the same dress I have on. That's like hell on earth, isn't it, when you see that? If we're looking for a certain kind of car we want to buy, you say, okay, this is the kind of used car I want to buy. I've decided that. Well, the next day you're going to see that car everywhere. Everybody's driving that car. The same amount of that car was there the day before, but you didn't see it yesterday because you weren't looking for it. But as soon as you look for it, it's everywhere. If you look for what's bad in your marriage, you'll have a bad marriage. If you're looking for what's bad in your kids, you're going to see bad everywhere. If you're looking for what's bad in the church, you're going to see bad churches. You'll always enter bad churches. Listen to what Proverbs 11:27 says. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who looks for evil, evil will come to him. If you look for evil, if you seek evil, evil will what? It'll find you. Listen to this next scripture, Psalm 109. He did not delight in blessings, so they were far from him. And then the next phrase says, but he also loved cursing, so it came to him. It's like you're a magnetic center. You're a center of gravity. If you're looking for evil, it's gonna come and find you. But if you're looking for good people, you're gonna find good people everywhere. Isn't that right? Good people attract good people. Evil people start to hang around with those kinds of people because it's like you're the center of gravity. And whatever you look for, you're gonna find. So you've got to train your eyes to see what's good. Is that easy? No, it's really hard because our whole life we've been trained to see what's bad. Think about it. You get up in the morning and you read the newspaper. What is it mostly of, good news or bad news? Bad news. So you just read the bad news. Bad news about the president. Bad news about Hawaii. Bad news about the economy. Bad. This is bad. This is bad. If that's not enough bad, on your way to work, you stop and you pick up a magazine, the U.S. News and Bad World Report. And you read bad news about Europe and the euro and the yen and everything else. The whole world is going to pot. Then you get home so you can watch the 5 o'clock bad news. You stay up late so you can watch the 10 o'clock bad news. So you can go and have a bad rest, have bad dreams, get up with a bad back, and have a bad attitude tomorrow. And you start all over again by reading bad news. And you do that for 30 years, Christians as well. Do you understand what happens? We train our eyes to see what's what? Bad. But you've got to train your eyes to see and look for what's good. You've got to really work hard to see what's good, to see a person doing something good, to see that we've got a place here. It's air conditioned. The seats are soft. They hide when you stand up, but it's soft when you sit down. You've got to look for what's good. When you begin to train your eyes to see what's good, you'll start to see good everywhere. You say, but Wayne, what if I haven't grown up that way? Well, number two, write it down somewhere. You got to believe that you can change.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Attitudes of Faith by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
When was the last time you were truly grateful for something? Not just saying thank you, but really meaning it. Even today, in a world where everything seems to be falling apart, and there's so much uncertainty in the air, there are many things and people to be grateful for. Today, choose to show gratitude. Who knows? Maybe you'll just start a chain reaction that will transform the world around you. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.